joy and be glad, that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And guess what? We're all his children. God rejoices with his children when things go well. We should as well. Secondly, we're to weep when they weep. This, of course, refers to our friends and the fellow men who are facing some difficulty or loss, some moment of suffering. It may be some personal pain, some business loss, some family hurt, sorrow, or suffering. No matter what it is that causes the weeping, Christian believers are to draw near the person and feel with them. The noteworthy trait of the believer is empathy, the fact that he is touched by the infirmities of man. This is exactly a trait of God. I read this Sunday in church, Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Friends, how many times have I seen difficult times provide an excellent ministry opportunity? Pastor, I'm sure you've done the same thing. I have done funerals for people I'd never met in my life. Why? Because it's an opportunity to minister. Okay? It's an opportunity to show the love of God to someone who needs it desperately. Look, guys, some people will never care what you have to say, but in a moment of crisis, they'll turn an ear your way, Tom. In a moment of crisis, they'll receive you. You know, sometimes some of you are looking for an opportunity for reconciliation with somebody. Maybe it's a moment of crisis. Maybe it's a moment where somebody, even if it's just a Facebook message or a text, says, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. Whatever the case may be, guys, take those opportunities and use them as a way to bring glory to God. Amen? Verse number 16, we as believers are now challenged to seek harmony or unity with one another. Imagine that word again. A couple areas for us to look at. Number one, the believer is to be of the same mind toward others. This refers primarily to our attitude and our behavior toward others and their lot in life. The believer is to strive to get into the very mind of another man and to understand them. You see, guys, we should show empathy. Try to walk a mile in another's shoes. In other words, we need to be quick to love and slow to judge and criticize. Because you don't know what that person's been through. Sometimes we think we know. Sometimes we think we know all the story, but we don't. Amen? So instead of judging, instead of criticizing, let's show empathy. Let's say, man, my heart breaks for you. I don't know everything you're going through, but I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. You and I as believers are to understand that other people go through difficult times, and especially unbelievers, they don't have Christ Jesus to comfort them like we do. Yeah, I don't know how an unbeliever makes it through this world. I really don't. Because life is tough. How many have figured that out? Life is tough when you got the Holy Ghost walking by your side. Amen? Life is tough when you know that Jesus prepared a place for you, John 14. Life is still tough. Can you imagine not having that hope? But guys, at moments of crisis, at moments of difficulty, you can bring that hope of Jesus to somebody. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Ephesians 4:3, I shared it Sunday. Endeavoring or striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Guys, we're supposed to be of the same mind. Our attitude should be a Christ-honoring attitude. Secondly, believers not to mind high things, but to condescend to men of low estate. High things means to seeking the things of prominence, honor, prestige, and recognition. See, the believer is not to be snobbish. Not to allow his mind to roam around in the high things of the world. On the contrary, he is to condescend to men of low estate. He is to look upon the poor and the lowly and give his life to meet their needs. Believers are not to be above the lowly of the world. He is not to neglect, ignore, separate, criticize, or despise those that aren't as blessed as we are. He is to condescend and give himself to those that need hope the most. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." James 4 and 10 says this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." 1 Peter 5 and 5, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Be all of you subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." I think all of us in here need the grace of God, don't we? We better make sure we're humble. We better not make sure we don't get puffed up. And so many times, we see that sometimes. We can forget where we came from. You know what, guys, let's not forget, we've all been unbelievers at one time or another. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and but for the grace of God, we would still be in that same spiritual condition. Amen? So let's not look down on others. Let's love others. Amen? The only time you should be looking down on somebody is when you're bending down to pick them up. Amen? That's the only time you should look down for somebody. Thirdly, you and I as believers are not to be wise in our own conceits. We are not to have too high opinion of ourselves, as though he is above and better than the lowly. Again, guys, it comes down to humility. It comes down to keeping the main thing. Guys, think about it. If anybody could have acted better than somebody else, it was Jesus. Amen? He left the place where he was the object of all worship and all adoration, but he humbled himself. He's the perfect example for all of us. Amen? If we're going to be a Christ follower, we should humble ourselves as well. The attitude which the gospel requires is that of a little child. Simple, trusting, and humble. Simple, trusting, and humble. Romans 12 tells us this in verse number 3. Again, I read this already, but it's worth repeating. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, don't think more highly of himself than he ought to, but think soberly, because God's given us all a measure of faith." Galatians 6 and 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Proverbs 3 and 7, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Verse 17, we're almost done. The believer is to live above the reproach in the sight of all men. Two behaviors in particular are mentioned. Number one, the believer is not to react. He is not to return evil for evil to anyone. In the world and in the course of behavior between men, everyone is mistreated and reacted against at one time or another. Therefore, the believer suffers evil and mistreatment just as everyone else does, just in the course of behavior as a man. However, the genuine believer also suffers evil and mistreatment because he's a follower of Jesus. Guys, look, some of the things you're going through are because you're a Christ follower, because there is just simply a spiritual battle going on. Amen? Some people don't like you because your spirit aggravates their demons. Okay? Hey, what is it? It's Jesus. Okay? Now, some of you just need to treat people a little better. That's why you're having problems, okay? But I don't know why I said that. I'm probably saying that to me. I'm going to watch this over, and I'm going to go, oh, yeah, that was for me. Okay? But here's the deal, guys. We need to make sure that we're not reacting in the flesh, but we're responding in the spirit. The believer is not to react against a person who mistreats and does evil against them. See, reaction will most likely lose the friendship of the person, lose all hope of ever reaching that person for Jesus. The evildoer would say something like, "A Christian did that to me." If that's how a Christian acts, you ever heard that kind of stuff before? Secondly, reaction is not the way of God or Christ. Our flesh reacts, our spirit responds. Let me say that again. Our flesh reacts, but our spirit responds. We need to train ourselves to respond in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. Amen? Many times, if you think about it, your first inclination is probably not the right inclination. The first thing that comes to your mind should probably be a thought that you take captive. Okay? You ever had something come to your mind and you're like, "I can't do that." You're right. You can't do that. Okay? You know, the spirit of slap comes all, "I know, you can't do that, John." Go on to the second thought. "Okay, Lord, that's the old man. He's supposed to be dead. Help me crucify him. Let me think about the way to respond." Look, guys, I was telling my guys Sunday, I had a praise report because last week, for those of you that don't know, I officiate football. Okay? And And often there's an adversarial relationship between coaches and officials, okay? And it gets worse when they lose, okay? You know, if it ain't going so well, we blame the officials. Well, I had a certain school last week that is known to give officials a really, really hard time, okay? And they had lost the week before, so they weren't too very happy, okay? So on the way over to the game, I just said a simple prayer, Tobin. I said, Lord, I'll just be honest with you. I said, Lord, I don't really want to fight with no coach tonight. Okay, I don't want to have to flag a coach. I don't want to have to get into it with a coach. Will you just help me tonight? Will you just let your favor rest upon me? And let me tell you guys, 6 years of officiating high school football, I've never had a calmer sideline than last Thursday night. And they lost. They lost. In fact, there was one time they had a coach who was starting to get upset, not over my call, Mike, over something somebody else did. And it's like he swallowed a bug. He was like, I said, I'll keep my eye on it, coach. I literally chuckled to myself because God shut him up. I mean, he's losing his mind. It's like he swallows a bug. I thought it was so comical. And it just reminds me that God can fight your battles if you let him. But there are sometimes I'm like, okay, I got this one. How's that working for you? Okay? Some of you are getting in some situations you ought not get in because you're not letting God fight your battle. Let him fight your battle, guys. Respond in a way that would be Christ-honoring. Do not react in the flesh, but respond in the Spirit. Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said this, But I say unto you that if you resist not evil, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. I never did that one before. I kind of hope I don't ever get in a situation where I have to, okay? I'd like to think I would respond in a Christ-honoring way. But I do know in the past when I'd get hit, I wanted to react in a certain way, but I know that's not Christ-honoring. The reason I know is because everything else I was doing in those days wasn't Christ-honoring. But here's the deal. Jesus says that you can respond in a way that brings glory and honor unto him. Here's the reason why, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing what you are called unto, you should inherit a blessing. Remember, guys, blessings follow obedience. When you're obedient to God, he blesses you for it. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good to all men. Secondly, the believer is to demonstrate good behavior in the sight of all men. The word provide means to think before acting. The idea is this, when someone does evil against you as a believer, the believer is to think before he acts. He is to think and pray through his behavior. Why? So he can respond in the right and the proper way. The believer needs to do what is right and noble, and the only way to do it is to think the situation through. Pray the situation through. Note another point. Scripture clearly tells believers why he's to respond this way, so that his honest and noble response is seen by men. In essence, the believer is to love by turning the other cheek to the evildoer in the sight of all men. A strong testimony of God's love will then be seen by all. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Verse number 18. We're almost done. The believer is also to live at peace with all men. However, peace is not always possible. There are two qualifications. Number one, if it is possible, the believer is to live at peace with all men. However, it is not always possible. Some people are troublemakers, grumblers, complainers, dissenters, splitters. They just want to fight. You ever met somebody like that? It takes two to fight. Don't you be that second. You don't have to take every invitation you get to go to a fight. Some people have no interest in living at peace with the believer. The Bible tells us to avoid those kind of folks. And then as much as possible, the believer is to live at peace with all men. The believer is to work for as much peace as possible. Some level of harmony and concord can be achieved at least some of the time. The believer is never to give up, not as long as there is hope for some degree of peace. He is to achieve as much peace as possible. However, remember, peace is not always possible. Here are the two main takeaways right here. Let not the conflict start with you or escalate with you. Okay? Look, guys, I've heard it said sometimes that in every problem, every little fire, a pastor holds two cans with him, a can of water and a can of gas. Okay, and you better know the difference between the two, okay? And sometimes you think that you're doing the right thing and you're really escalating things, okay? Sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. You know, as I get older, I realize that sometimes nothing is a pretty good response, especially if that nothing is accomplished with prayer. Or is accompanied, rather, with prayer. Some things, John, you just do nothing about. You just pray about. By the way, that is something. Prayer is something. Amen? It's far more than nothing. But here's the thing. When it comes to peace with all people, let not the conflict start with you or escalate because of you. And sometimes here's what you got to pray. James 1 and 5. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom how to handle any situation because He knows. Amen? And then finally, verses 19 through 21, we finish up with this. The believer is to give no place to revenge. There are three reasons for this charge. Number one, vengeance belongs to God. Simple as that. Though the words, dearly beloved, the exhortation is definitely directed to believers. It would be a wonderful thing if all men practiced and lived by this rule, but the world never has and never will live free of vengeance and war. However, the beloved of God, you and I, are given no choice. Any person who follows God is to leave vengeance up to God. Vengeance belongs to God, not to man. No man has the right to judge others, not in a private judgment, nor in a personal vengeance. The right to judge and execute vengeance is God's and God's alone. However, Scripture is crystal clear. God will repay. God will execute vengeance or justice. The day of His wrath is coming, and it will be inescapable. It's crystal clear in Romans 12 and 19. We just read it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 30 says the same thing. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Psalm 94 and 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, show thyself. Look, guys, God will settle all scores. Amen? Don't you worry about that. Sometimes we see here on earth, boy, it seems like sinners are blessed and saints are having a hard time. You're only seeing half the story. Amen? If you could see the whole story, if you could see everything, it would make a lot more sense to us, okay? Guys, we just got to trust the Lord with some things. In fact, we got to trust the Lord with all things. Amen? But vengeance is one of those things you can't get involved in because it'll eat you up. Secondly, treating an enemy with kindness will affect him greatly. It'll mess him up. You ought to try it. Look, guys, when a coach is upset with me, I try to kill him with kindness. What was that, coach? How can I help you, coach? I mean, sometimes they just shut up because they're not used to that, okay? By the way, I haven't always done this. I used to be the dude who'd glare at him and fuss with him, when a fool and a wise man get in a fight from a distance, you can't tell the difference between the two. Let that one sink in. When a fool and a wise man get in a fight from a distance, you can't tell the difference between the two. How many times that we played the fool? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, ain't going back. Okay? How about we respond in a way that would bring glory and honor to God? Amen? Treat an enemy with kindness. It'll mess him up in the head. Kindness will shame and cause anguish for an enemy. In his lonely moments, his thoughts will focus upon his evil treatment of believers and cause him to think and wonder about God. There is some chance that enemy might even repent and be converted. Consider what Paul said in Romans 12 and 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in due sowing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Again, this is what is said in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. The Lord shall reward you. Kindness will store up wrath against the evildoer in the day of judgment. If an evildoer represses his thoughts of God and hardens himself more and more and continues in his wicked ways, he's storing up judgment against himself. Romans 2 and 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Finally, vengeance, if you were to take vengeance, it makes evil victorious. If the believer takes vengeance, then he allows evil to win. He allows evil to conquer him, and this he must never do. The believer is to conquer evil, never allowing evil to conquer him. Note how he conquers evil: by doing good. He overcomes evil by doing what he should do, in particular by doing good toward those who mistreat and abuse him. Matthew 5 and 44, but I say unto you, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be ye angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the evil one. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. As I close, with tonight's teaching as a criteria, who here tonight would say that you need to do a little better in your relationship with unbelievers? How many would say, man, I kind of missed the mark. I'm not doing as well as I would hope. You see, I was convicted in a few areas, as I'm sure many of you were as well. We need the heart of God to touch our hearts tonight so that we can represent Jesus to everyone we come in contact with, especially those outside the church who have yet to come to faith. John 3:16 captures the heart of God. He loved the world and he did something about it. His love moved him to action and he gave himself. Let God touch our heart today that you and I will give of ourselves as well. No longer reacting in the flesh, but responding with the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would say, Pastor, I need the Lord's help in this area. I have reacted one too many times in the flesh. I want to learn to respond in the Spirit. You know, I need the Holy Spirit to guide me, to correct me, to even shut my mouth sometimes. If God can shut up some heathen coach who is ranting and raving, surely he can quiet me when I need to be hushed as well. How many would say, Pastor, I need the Lord's help in this area. Would you pray for me? If you'd slip your hand up, hands going up all over the place. You know what, guys? This blesses my heart because this tells me that the future of our church is bright. This tells me that we care about how we represent Jesus. This tells me that our community has a chance because we're going to represent Jesus everywhere we go. Are we going to be perfect? No. But the Bible tells us if we fall short, His grace makes the difference. Amen? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, wherever you are, if there's some areas that you feel like you've come up short, ask the Lord to forgive you right now. Lord, I just pray that you would search us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not representing you perfectly. Forgive us, Lord God, for not loving people unconditionally. Forgive us, Lord God, for at times reacting in a flesh-like manner. But Lord, from this day forward, help us to do better. From this day forward, Holy Spirit, shut my mouth if it needs shutting. God, quiet me if I need quieting. God, help me not to misrepresent you in any way ever again. Help me, Lord God, to be your hands and your feet extended to a lost and dying world. Lord, help us, Lord, to see people like you see people. People that desperately need a relationship with your Son, Jesus. Lord, break our hearts for the lost. God, break our hearts for the lost. God, help us not to ride through our community the same way again. Help us not to ride past our schools in the same way again. Help us not to go to Walmart or any other place of gathering the same way again. Help us to see people like you see people through eyes of love, grace, and mercy. And Lord, I pray from this day forward that you would help us to represent you well. Everything we say, everything we do, let it bring glory and honor unto you. Lord, I pray right now that you would help us no longer to react in the flesh, but to respond through the power of the Holy Spirit alive and active in our lives. Touch this congregation as we endeavor to make a difference in our community, and you'll get all the glory for it. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray, and everybody would shout, amen.